The late novel, Henry James considered his most perfectly crafted work.
The Ambassadors by Henry James, adapted for radio by Graham White, with Henry Goodman as Lambert Strether.
Why must one remember?
Live all you can. It's a mistake not to.
Repeat, return to one's words.
Monsieur Strether, good evening.
Good evening. Madame de Vionnet expects me.
Oh, oui, monsieur.
Ah, merci.
Follow me, please.
I know these stairs, these walls.
Yes, thank you. Merci. I know the room.
Indeed, monsieur.
Thank you.
I know this room. And I know this waiting again.
What one loses. Make no mistake about that.
What one loses, or perhaps what one gains. What led me here to this? What am I forced to recall even now as I wait for her? From the moment in my London hotel 4 months ago.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Strether. There's a telegram for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yes. Oh, good, yes. I await a friend, Mr. Waymarsh, a compatriot. Here he asks me to procure a room for him, only not noisy is his request.
We'll be pleased to oblige.
Good, thank you.
Excuse me.
Ma'am?
Is the Mr. Waymarsh you mentioned the lawyer of Milrose, Connecticut?
Why, yes, he is, yes.
I thought so. I've met him, you see, at Milrose.
Oh.
I'm not sure he would know me, but I should be delighted to see him.
Well, he's to meet me here imminently. He's coming down from Derbyshire.
Then perhaps I shall. I hope I'm not being too forward.
No, not at all.
Do you know London?
Not as well as I know Waymarsh. It's been many years since I was here.
Well, you'll find the dining room of the Kensington Hotel rings with American accents. I believe that you know the Minster family from your train.
Yes, I made their acquaintance on the voyage.
I greeted them when they arrived. That was where I felt I could approach you, recognizing you from the platform at Euston.
Oh. Well, I'm afraid I may have to look up your name at the desk.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. My card.
Well, thank you. And mine for you. So, Miss Mariah Gostrey.
Mr. Lewis Lambert Strether.
Yes.
I like it, particularly the Lewis Lambert. It's the name of a novel of Balzac's.
Oh, I know that.
Sadly, the novel's an awfully bad one.
Yes, I know that, too.
Well, now that we're acquainted, I wonder, Mr. Strether, would you accompany me into the garden? I was hoping to take the air a little before dinner.
Well, if this amounts to an acquaintance, it would be my pleasure.
Let us, then.
Please.
Are you from Connecticut, Mr. Strether?
Oh, no. I'm from Woollett, Massachusetts.
You visited Europe before?
Yes, London. Paris also. Though that was 30 years ago now.
I'm resident in Paris.
Ah, well, that's where my tour ends on this occasion.
It's a pleasure trip?
In a manner of speaking.
You look a great deal at your watch, Mr. Strether.
I'm sorry, I fret rather for Waymarsh.
I'm sure we shall see him soon.
Yes. Look... I'm so sorry, but I dare say this kind of meeting may be the sort of thing you're thoroughly familiar with, Miss Gostrey, but not I.
Well, let me apologize. We shall return inside.
No, but may I ask, what are you, Miss Gostrey?
Oh, don't worry. I'm perfectly respectable. I'm a sort of general guide to Europe for our touring compatriots, a companion at large. I wait for them. I pick them up. I set them down.
Oh.
The Minsters have already been safely billeted.
I see. And how do they... we reward you?
Well, by and large, you don't. I don't do it for any particular advantage. I don't do it, as some do, for money.
And you're staying a while at the hotel?
Yes. London is almost a second home.
Well, if you find yourself without present duty, perhaps you'd be so good as to take Waymarsh and me under your wing. I've been many years away from Europe and feel a little in need of support.
Why, certainly, if you feel that it would be of benefit.
And it is a room which is large enough for my comfort, I hope.
Indeed it is, sir.
Do you believe? Hello, Mr. Waymarsh. Good evening.
Yes? Hello. Strether. Lambert Strether.
Hello, Waymarsh. Good to see you.
Likewise, Strether. Well, well, well.
But Waymarsh, I know absolutely nothing about her.
Strether, Miss Gostrey knows the Minster family. She knows Milrose, and she appeared with her hand through your arm. And I still can't recall ever meeting her before.
Well, she certainly knows of you. Don't worry. All is innocent, Waymarsh. Miss Gostrey merely appears as, well, someone to be supported, to be encouraged. Waymarsh, are you ready for sleep?
Desperate for it, tell the truth.
Well, I can see this room is not to your taste. When you first looked into it, you sighed, such a sigh. It seemed to me it said, Europe.
Well, yes.
Your 3 months here has not been a success?
No. The fact is, Strether, I think I want to go back.
Well, that's a fine thing to say to a fellow who's just traveled the Atlantic to meet you. It's been some years since we saw each other, Waymarsh.
It has.
You know, I've envied you.
Well, what is there to envy?
The way you survived disaster, came through it admirably.
Well, I could have collapsed. Not many a man's wife leaves him and he's still standing 15 years later.
I've had my own disasters.
And survived them, too?
Well, I'm not sure that my progress could be called admirable.
A mourned wife?
Yes.
A son lost, too?
Yes, by neglect. My neglect, as I mourned his mother.
Illness, Strether. Neither of them your fault.
I could have cared more. I could have understood the kind of boy he was. I was too impatient.
If we're over here, I suppose we must attempt to enjoy ourselves and get to know each other again. You filled out some, Strether.
I'm afraid I have, yes.
You know, it's generally felt that Mrs. Newsome follows you up pretty close.
Oh?
I hear many things in my town, even the goings-on at Woollett.
You think I'm running away from Mrs. Newsome? That's why I came to Europe?
Your fiancée is known to be a formidable woman, Strether. Take care. You've made a very solid catch there.
You make my intended betrothal sound like a business deal.
Why isn't Mrs. Newsome over here with you?
She's not so strong as to travel great distances. I've come in a manner instead of her, on her business.
Then mind you don't go getting distracted by the young ladies.
Yes, Waymarsh, I do think you need your sleep. Good night now.
On arrival at our hotel, a bundle of letters had been awaiting me. All from Mrs. Newsome, my lady of Woollett, Massachusetts. Solicitous, caring, securing. Now, as Waymarsh resided rather testily in the hotel, abjuring all London entertainment, I attended the theater with Miss Gostrey. I found the city intriguing, and while en route, I wanted to take it all in.
The bad lady in the yellow frock is making the young man do the most dreadful things.
But he's so weak.
Well, if I'm honest...
Do be.
Well, I've come out to Europe on behalf of a similarly good-looking and equally weak young man.
Ah, so it's not a holiday. It's a mission.
It's a little of each. Would you care for some refreshment, Miss Gostrey?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm too intrigued now to drink or to eat.
Well, please excuse me. Waiter.
Sir?
A spritzer, please.
Certainly, sir.
Is he a relative?
He is the son of a close friend.
And has the young man got a name?
Chadwick Newsome. Chad to all.
And is he a young man on whom high hopes are placed at Woollett?
Exactly. You have the case.
There you are, sir. Oh. 1 shilling.
Excuse me. Let me hear.
No, please.
Thank you, madam.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm still rather slow with the coins.
Never mind. Now, a wicked woman has got hold of Chad, yes?
Your health. We have stories quite like this play in Woollett.
Does she wear a yellow frock?
Well, that is a matter of pure speculation. But Chad has been resident in Paris. So we believe. Communication is rare.
And it won't do?
No, it certainly won't.
Do you like him, this Chad?
How can I? He's boorish, impulsive, charmless. And he's darkened his mother's admirable life.
Ah. I imagine Mrs. Newsome's life is very admirable.
Yes, and genuinely so.
And Chad's father?
Mr. Newsome's been dead some 10 years. Chad also had a sister, Sarah, older than himself and married. She and his mother are both remarkably fine women.
And you'd do anything for them?
Well, they couldn't have come over. They're very busy people. Now, shall we take our seats for the denouement?
Very well. Although Chad's is the story I'd rather hear concluded. Has Mrs. Newsome money?
Oh, there's money, to very large amounts. And Chad has had the free use of a great deal of it. And he's at the parting of the ways. If he'll pull himself together and come home, he can enter the family business now. He can't come in later.
There's a business?
Oh, Lord, yes. A big, brave, bouncing business. It's a little thing they make better in Woolett, it appears, than other people do.
And, what is the article produced?
Oh, it's a rather ridiculous object of the commonest domestic use. Oh,
is it clothespins?
No.
Shoe polish?
I don't think you'll guess it.
Mrs. Newsome could cut off his allowance.
Chad has an independent supply left him by his grandfather. I shan't describe him nor narrate his exploits. The late Mr. Newsome was no better, sadly.
Lord, what abysses. Does Mrs. Newsome look after the concern?
There's a board. Her daughter's husband, Jim Pocock, sits on the board.
And you, Mr. Strether, what do you do?
Well, I edit the review.
Woolett has a review?
Certainly Woolett has a review, which Mrs. Newsome, for the most part, pays for. My name is on the cover, and I'm really rather disappointed that you seem never to have heard of it.
What kind of a review is it?
Well, it's a review of the arts. It seems to rescue me from the wreck of my hopes and ambitions.
Well, then, we are two of a kind. I am a perfectly equipped failure. But you're loyal to the family, and now you've come out to render Chad an immense service?
If you put it like that, yes. Yes, I suppose I have.
And a service for his mother?
Yes.
Is there an attachment, if I may be so delicate?
There is between myself and Mrs. Newsome an engagement.
Ah. Loyalty and something greater.
Oh, yes. Something greater.
Do the Newsomes perhaps make baking soda?
No, and you won't guess, Miss Costry. Oh, dear, dear, oh, dear. There's something of a crowd for carriages.
Let us wait, then, under the portico.
Please.
Well, I presume you want to get Chad Newsome home to be married.
That's about the size of it.
To anyone in particular?
Well, we rather hope to Mamie Pocock. Sarah's sister-in-law, Jim, Sarah's husband, is on the board of the family business. Mamie is our prettiest, brightest girl.
And I suppose that at Woolett you'd want blameless young men for your pretty girls.
We'd prefer things that way. But even we have to make the best of it. Hold on.
A four-wheeler, please. For this lady, please.
Sir?
So, you've told me what young Mr. Chad stands to gain, but not what you do.
Oh, I've nothing more to gain.
Cab, sir. Just on the corner.
Thank you.
I think I shall walk to my hotel.
You shall. This is my great time for pulling myself together.
Yes, well, I like the rain. Goodbye, Miss Costry. An entertaining evening.
If you've nothing more to gain, what do you lose should you fail?
Should I fail?
Yes.
Oh, well, if I miss my errand, I suppose, well, it's really quite unthinkable.
So I suspected. Then we shall have to ensure that you succeed. You may rely on me. We'll see each other in Paris.
Yes, in Paris.
Good night.
Good night. Should I fail?
After that evening of confession, I, accompanied by Waymarsh, traveled here to Paris and waited until further letters arrived carrying my detailed instructions. I read them. Four. All from Mrs. Newsome, none of them short. Strangely, on my arrival in Paris, they caught me a little off guard. After some time traveling, if I were thinking of the inhabitants of Woolett, of Sarah, of Jim, it was as rather insistent voices.
Some men might find themselves led astray, Lambert, in Paris.
Well,
I'm not sure Lambert's one of that kind of man.
Chad, though.
Well, that's what he's charged by my mother to discover. No, Lambert, you're absolutely worthy of the trust my mother has placed in you.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I should hope to prove so.
Yes, you'll surely bring my brother home.
I see now that I rather wished to quiet those voices. Waymarsh was installed in my hotel, continuing to complain. Mariah Gostrey was soon to arrive in Paris, having guided another family through London. The letters, the location, all was in order. And yet, holding Mrs. Newsom's letters that morning, I walked across the city in a soft breeze and sat in the Tuileries Gardens. I watched little brisk figures, figures whose movement was as the tick of the great Paris clock, take their smooth diagonal from point to point. I found myself transported to my youth, to a moment before the disasters that turned that youth to age, a moment pregnant with possibility. When I'd walked in the Tuileries, staring at the palace with Janet and with Tobias, our little boy, little suspecting the future that would unfold, their losses, my mourning of those losses. Nothing, as everyone told me, that I could have done. The way of the world. The palace was gone. I remembered the palace. I found my moment there in the garden somehow liberating. Regrets seemed to fall away. I never expected to feel myself so free or so young. Time appeared as a bag of gold into which I might now constantly dip for a handful of shining hours, to use absolutely as I liked. I sat, I believe, an hour with my correspondence in my hand. Eventually, I set off along a pavement towards an address which one of the letters had given, an apartment on the Boulevard Malesherbes. I lingered for 5 minutes on the opposite side of the street, with a third-floor balcony in my view. A young man came out and looked about him, lit a cigarette, and tossed the match over. Not Chad, a younger man. I soon felt myself noticed. I crossed the road and went in.
My name's Billum, John Little Billum. Being small, the latter parts of the name are invariably used together.
I see. Well, my name's Lambert Strether.
Yes, welcome, Mr. Strether. I'm just here keeping the rooms warm.
Really?
Mr. Chad Newsom is away.
I see.
He traveled south to Cannes around a month ago.
I didn't know.
He's expected back later this week.
Oh. Well. This is wonderful. What an elegant apartment. You're a friend of Chad's?
Just as you are. I'm a little artist man, or an aspirant artist man. I came over to spend some years in the greatest of art schools.
Oh, this city is certainly...
Yeah, certainly not Boston.
Nor Woollett.
No, I've heard a good deal about Woollett.
Well, a representative of it stands before you now, sir.
Yeah, still, I'm not from Boston. I'm notoriously not from Boston. How do you find Paris?
So far, I find it quite enchanting.
Oh, isn't it? As are Chad's rooms, which is why I'm staying here.
I imagine him in rather less cultured surroundings.
Well, he's a man of great taste.
Chad Newsom.
So this Billum is doorkeeper for Chad. Does he know anything about a woman?
Well, you can't make out over here what people do know. But little Billum is pleasant and curious.
Why is he curious?
Well, when you meet him, you'll understand.
I don't want to meet him. Why don't he go home?
Because he likes it over here.
He ought then to be ashamed of himself.
Waymarsh, I like him. And I think that I like it over here, too.
You do?
Yes, don't you?
Look here, Strether. Quit this.
What, you mean my tone?
No, damn your tone! I mean you're nosing around. People don't take a fine tooth comb to groom a horse, if you get my meaning.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's really quite indispensable that Chad should be got back. Eat your tart, ta-ta.
Because if you get him, you also get Mrs. Newsom.
Chad's of real importance to the business.
And you'll marry, you personally, more money.
Waymarsh, that is unworthy of you. If I fail to secure Chad, I am quite sure I shall miss my marriage, and if I miss that... I'm nowhere.
What do I care where you are if you're spoiled, if Europe's got you? I say you're best to go home right away. But if you're staying on, I'd better be riding shotgun.
So, next day, Waymarsh could find nothing better to do than accompany me to Breakfast Chance. On our way to the Boulevard Malesherbes, we walked, wandered, and a little lost ourselves under the sharp spell of Paris. And then we found ourselves with our feet under Chad's mahogany, the sounds of Paris rising through the window. It was a very pleasing moment. Though, if I consider it now, I also looked at little Billum and at his friend, Miss Paris, another mature, long-time expatriate, and I thought, are you a trap?
Oh, Mr. Strether, your friend Waymarsh is a tap. He really is. The grand old American.
Miss Barace has an instinct for these things.
I haven't seen such an example of down-home, no-nonsense Americana these ever so many years. The sight of him warms my poor old chilled heart. Now, where has he gone?
He's on the balcony.
I think he finds the atmosphere a little smoky.
Well, I, for one, am grateful for the supply of most excellent cigarettes.
Oh, Chad left them.
I shall go and talk to him on the balcony. Oh, Mr. Waymarsh!
Waymarsh hasn't taken to her, has he?
No, I don't think he has. In his eyes, smoking is the least of her freedoms.
And in yours?
Oh, it seems a part of this life.
What do you mean?
A certain relaxed attitude. Oh,
I told you I was not from Boston.
Yes. I confess, Billum, that I don't quite know where I stand.
No?
No. I see how all your mention of Chad is to do him honor, from gratitude for his hospitality to commending his taste in cigarettes.
We're very protective of Chad. He's a fine fellow, you know.
I really begin to wonder whether we know the same man.
I left my question hanging through further time, lunches, gatherings spent with my new companions, until Miss Gostrey arrived back in Paris. By then, I felt myself in need of her guidance, her knowledge of Parisian manners. I arranged a visit, avec Billum, to the Louvre, to show him to her. With Miss Gostrey, we walked through the immensity of the place, its rare artistic glories. I confessed to her that I had already, in a week, lost my bearings.
But in what way?
Well, for a start, I've made a great friend of little Billum.
Oh, Billum's all right.
Well, he tells me that Chad is in Cannes, and promises to write favorably of me to Chad, and that'll make him not afraid to return to Paris.
But is there a woman with him?
How do I know?
You've actually got no facts at all. 2 weeks, and you know nothing.
Well, I have one. Slight, perhaps, insight.
Which is?
A phrase that Billum used. Awful, you know, as Chad is. I rather suspect he might be up to something awful right now.
No. Decent men don't go to the Riviera with the, well, the kind of ladies you mean.
Don't they?
Not to Cannes, they don't. He must have gone alone. You take in all around you with a keen eye, Mr. Billum.
Oh, I have an eye. I came out to Paris to paint. Unfortunately, study has been fatal.
Fatal?
Oh, my ability to paint slipped as my education grew.
Oh.
Let me invite you tomorrow to my own poorer place. That will cast me in a different light.
So, at the end of an alley that went out of an old, short, cobbled street, Billum introduced us to the little studio which he had lent to a comrade.
Andre,
good afternoon. Oh,
please come in, come in, everybody. Here, please come up.
Oh, thanks.
Come up the stairs, please. Your guests are?
Strether, Lambert Strether.
Enchanté, monsieur.
Mariah Gostrey, guide.
Madame?
You've done what I asked, Andre. Tea is to await you and your guests regardless.
Ah, that's right. How could I refuse, Villam, when you lend me this studio with such generosity?
Oh.
So, more Americans.
More Americans.
But you are not here to study art, to make art?
No, to appreciate it.
Come in, please. Before we eat, let me show you the studio where it is that little Monsieur Billum keeps his work, and where my work is, and the work of my friend Carl. Carl?
Keep out!
Inspiration is at play.
Carl!
Perhaps.
We need to see the canvas.
Oh,
Billam, if you'd said this was you, I cannot keep allowing this man to steal my imagination.
There have been some words between us this morning.
He lives the life of the ornamental, not the life of the spirit.
I can live with this abuse, you know, because his work is...
Perhaps then you might allow us to see your painting.
Very well.
Mm. Well.
How wonderful.
You see? I give up my rooms for others who have talent.
It is certainly a compelling image.
Is she wearing... Oh, I see.
I'm curating a show of the work for a gallery.
Curation. It's the job of the devil. The self-appointed gatekeeper.
Whose generosity you benefit from...
The room, yes, but it is Mr. Newsome who is funding the show.
Oh, Chad. Well, he understands.
Now, to eat, please. Come through and sit down.
This reckless repast and the faraway makeshift life.
Toast.
Dame la République.
Dame la République.
Little Billam's acquaintances, their enthusiasms and execrations that made me sit up, the good-humored poverty.
Who needs money when you have art?
They wove around the occasion a spell to which I... Well, I unreservedly surrendered.
You know nothing, André. You are my parasite.
More tea, gentlemen.
Well, Miss Gostry, you were wonderful.
Oh, I know how to deal with boys. I can be relied on to be wonderful about their delicate daubs.
You know, I really enjoyed it.
They certainly twang with a vengeance, the aesthetic lawyer.
They do, and draw from it wonderful airs. And their candor surpasses even the candor of Woollett.
But this was elementary, I'm afraid. Now, I have something for you. Something truly sophisticated. Hmm? An invitation to the opera tomorrow night. You may invite your friends.
And so Waymarsh accompanied us, with as much grace as he could manage, on what was to be a fateful night.
Mr. Waymarsh, I've told you I see myself as an instructor of youth, which is why I have invited little Billam tonight.
Well, he ain't here, Miss Gostry.
No, he's had some kind of hindrance, but he's quite beautiful.
Oh.
Though, you know, I do think he sees everything. Everything.
What do you mean?
It occurred to me earlier at his own poor place. I'm sure he's had a regular little telegram from Cannes each day. He's acting on daily instructions.
You think they concern me?
Oh, I imagine Chad's playing everything quite to his advantage. And you must face it now, I'm afraid. Ah, look, the drama is beginning.
I'd say the drama is playing out in Strether's head.
Good evening.
Shh, the opera's started.
Look. I believe I was right.
My lord, Chad. Hello, Strether.
Shh.
Sit down.
Throughout the half hour that followed, I was unable to speak a word.
We'll speak afterwards. Enjoy the opera, Strether.
And Chad sat smiling, inscrutable. I stuck there like a schoolboy. I felt I should communicate quickly with Woollett. Have at last seen him, but oh dear. Or perhaps... just four words, which I gave him as soon as we left the play together for a hurried conference.
Awfully old gray hair.
That's what you would send?
Well, I've been toying with what might be most arresting for them.
Well, time has certainly passed for both of us.
Yes, yes, it has. Look, Chad, I've come, you know, to make you break with everything.
I see.
And to take you straight home, so you'll be so good as to immediately and favorably consider it. Of course, having known you when you were in jackets and knickerbockers. Well, you have nothing to say. We want you to break with Paris.
Your engagement to my mother is confirmed, then?
Yes, it is. And it was on the happy settlement of that question that I started out.
So you aim to bring me home as a sort of wedding present?
Chad, if you'll promise me, here, on the spot, to break straight off...
You want to make a bonfire, in fact, and you pitch me on it.
Then I shall leave you with my blessing... and go in peace.
Do I strike you as improved, Strether?
I haven't the faintest idea. I've said my piece, and I want to go to bed now.
Really?
Well, can't you believe it? With what you put me through?
I haven't put you through much yet.
All the more reason, then, that I should gird myself.
Oh, Lambert Strether. I believe that we shall get on.
Oh, no.
Come on. Let's walk you home.
But you cannot
just
leave.
Just get up and come on. L'addition can pay itself out of what I've left.
We're not sipping sodas on Main Street now, Strether. I suppose you must have imagined all kinds of things.
About what?
Well, it's been generally felt that I've let myself go, but that I'm coming round. I'm not so bad now.
By that, do you mean that there isn't any woman?
Don't you know how I like Paris itself, Strether?
Well, if that's all that's the matter with you, then I'll write a letter in the morning and say I've got you to
agree. Mother writes a lovely letter.
It's more, my boy, than you do. This is my hotel.
Yes, well, good night. And tell Mother I'm just fine.
Oh, I will.
I'll see you in the morning, Strether.
And that was the setting I rather bewilderedly had to go to bed on. So now I spent time with Chad, this new sophisticate. My own sittings to commune by letter with his mother were somewhat broken now. After a few days, I took an opportunity to give him the whole story, including of my acquaintanceship with Miss Gostrey. Well, she's been a fine advisor on the ways of Europe. And your mother, I think, sees the benefit in my being so guided.
Really?
Yes, or so I believe from her letters. I'm surprised you've not met Miss Gostrey.
Oh, I go about little in the expatriate colony.
Well, Chad, as your mother's ambassador, I feel that I've not yet made myself sufficiently disagreeable.
As a stepfather should?
Yes. You have a way about you which has prevented it.
I do?
You make easy talk. You have a lovely home. It's all been rather enjoyable.
Well, Strether, you're an easy visitor to entertain.
Then I think I should sound a note of caution. I can hear your mother now receiving my letter.
And whom does she address?
Your sister, Sarah.
Of course, Sarah.
He says there's no woman. But there are plenty of reasons, no doubt, to pretend there isn't one.
And why would I pretend?
You know there's a woman in Woollett. A young lady.
Mamie.
Yes.
Yes. I've heard a great deal about Mamie. Look, relax, Strether. There is no pretense. Now, dinner is at 8 tonight, and we must dress for it. Oh, and while we're together, allow me to invite you to meet an acquaintance next Sunday.
Oh?
We've been invited to a gathering at Gloriani's.
Gloriani?
The sculptor.
Yes. You know him?
Oh, yes. Quite well. I'm sure you'll enjoy meeting him.
It left me reeling. Chad Newsom, an acquaintance of Gloriani. But then what sort of brute had I expected Chad to have become? Well, I did have occasion to make the same inquiry quietly when I took Billum aside later, as after a convivial tea at Chad's, we sat at a pavement cafe late into the evening.
Well, I must say that I am rejoicing in Miss Barissa's entertainment of Waymarsh, Billum. She's quite deflected all of his silent disgruntlement.
Whirled away in a carriage.
And to see him go amid flounces and feathers and dark blue brocade.
It was a most amusing sight. Smoke?
No, thank you. Billum, what game is he playing?
Oh, Waymarsh is clearly a lore unto himself.
No, not Waymarsh. Chad. And by extension, you, Billum. You deliberately allowed him to take your invited place at the theater.
Yes, I did.
Is there yet, then, some woman?
You know, Lambert, it's awfully charming of you not to have asked me that before.
Oh, I'm not fit for my job.
Well, Chad's a rare case for anyone. He's so changed. But I'm not sure he was meant to be quite so good as he is now. It's like the new edition of a book one has been fond of. Not quite the item one knew and loved.
Who then?
Well, there is a relation, a virtuous attachment.
Uh-huh.
And of the most refined kind.
But to whom?
Oh, that must be a matter for Chad. Have patience.
Look, I must know more, though. I really must, if I'm to justify any of my time so far spent.
He has two particular friends, two ladies, a mother and
and daughter about to arrive in Paris that I believe he wants you furiously to meet.
They are the virtuous attachment?
Yes.
Oh. An attachment to them both then would, I suppose, be innocent. But if the girl's of the right age, of course, the mother can't be. Perhaps the mother's only, what, 25? A charming young widow. But why is it virtuous if she's free?
I can tell you no more. He describes them as his best friends in the world. And it's a great compliment to you that they are anxious to see you. So you must meet.
And that Sunday, at Signora Gloriani's garden party, we did.
Chadwick Newsom, if your mother could see you here.
Signora Gloriani holds the most magnificent parties.
Extraordinary.
Look, he's coming now. Let me introduce you, Strether.
Oh, well, I can wait.
Signora Gloriani.
Oh, Chad, I'm so happy you could be here.
The happiness is mine. It is a glorious afternoon. May I introduce my friend and compatriot, Lambert Strether?
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Strether.
And I, you, sir, I am a great admirer of your work.
Mr. Strether edits a review.
Ah, which review?
Well, it's of the arts. It's a very modest thing. In my hometown, Woolett, Massachusetts, USA.
Ah.
My family's hometown. Mr. Strether is a great friend of my mother's.
Really? I'm not sure I knew any of my mother's friends, Chad. Now, I must circulate amongst my guests. Enjoy your business, Mr. Strether.
Yes, yes, I will.
Do come this way. I have a desire that you should be introduced to someone. Someone of great importance to me.
Ah, now little Billum has told me, Chad.
Well, here. It is done already. Madame.
Chad, I came to meet you.
Yes. Madame Marie de Vionnet. This is Mr. Lambert Strether.
Ah, at last. Enchanté, monsieur.
Madame.
It is a great pleasure to be introduced to you.
Likewise, madame. Likewise.
Where is Jeanne?
I think she's still in the house.
Ah, but Mr. Strether must also see your daughter.
Of course.
I'll fetch her then.
Monsieur Strether, would you care to walk with me? Monsieur Newsom will bring my daughter out to see us in due course.
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
I've heard a great deal about you, Monsieur Strether.
Well, about you, Madame de...
Vionnet.
Vionnet. Madame, about you, I've heard I'm bound to say almost nothing.
Hasn't Miss Gostrey said a good word for me?
Miss Gostrey, I didn't even know of her knowing you.
Oh.
I profess myself quite disoriented.
Well, now, don't worry. She'll tell you all. I'm so glad you're in relation with her.
We know each other as acquaintances.
Yes, so I understand. I've known her for many years. She's at the party this afternoon, in the house.
Really?
Now, Monsieur Newsom has, to my knowledge, taken extraordinary pleasure in your visit.
Oh, has he? Well, yes, we've been getting along passively well.
More than that, I think.
Madame de Vionnet, bon après-midi, ma chère.
Ah, Duchesse, comment allez-vous?
I'd like you to accompany me to Signor Gloriani.
Certainly. Monsieur Strether, excuse-moi, s'il vous plaît. I must take the Duchess to meet our host. I am truly sorry.
Oh, no, by all means.
I hope I shall have the chance to speak with you again very soon, monsieur.
Yes, indeed.
Chad, I must introduce the Duchess to Signor Gloriani. Dites à Monsieur Strether que je suis vraiment désolée d'être mal poli.
Bien sûr, madame.
Darling, be charming for Monsieur Strether.
Oui, maman.
Lambert, this is Mademoiselle Jeanne de Vionnet, a young friend of mine who knows all about you.
Good day, sir.
Oh, good day, mademoiselle.
This, my dear, is Lambert Strether, who has it in his power to do a great deal for us.
Monsieur Strether, we hope very much you'll come to visit us soon at our house.
Madame de Vionnet quite reproaches herself. You were interesting her so much when she accidentally suffered you to be interrupted.
Well, no, don't mention it, really.
And I am to ask if you won't positively come.
Oh, of course.
Madame de Vionnet is immediately going on, so we must let Jean go. I'll escort you back to the house, my dear.
Merci. Good day, sir.
Good day, mademoiselle.
I took in the scene. Artists and ambassadors, cabinet ministers and bankers, and aristocrats galore. One, the exquisite Madame de Vionnet. And then also, of course, Maria Gostrey.
Ah, hello, Lambert. You've been abandoned.
Oh, no, I'm quite all right.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, don't apologize. What revelations. It is a virtuous attachment. That's why Chad is here. I've spoken to her and to the mother.
My poor dear Strether.
And you know them.
That came as much as a surprise to me as to you, I assure
you. But you knew Madame de Vionnet all along.
Which might have been established through the simple precaution of your giving her a name.
I never asked him. Never asked.
No. Well, welcome once again to Paris. Madame and I were at school in Geneva. We've not met for years, but today we have rediscovered so much.
So, the situation resolves. The husband's dead?
No, he is most unfortunately alive. He's a brute and lives apart from them.
Oh, I see. Then I'm sorry for them.
She's even more charming than I remember her. As is Jeanne, the daughter. A babe in arms then. But it's impossible now. Everything's impossible.
What do you mean?
I must keep out of the business, I think. She'll want me to help her with Chad's family and with your ambassadorship, and I won't.
But there's no disloyalty in it.
Well, it is a complex situation which they must work out for themselves. If now you feel I have anything to offer you, you only have to ask.
Oh, you must help. What do you know of Jeanne and the mother?
They've lived for years apart from the Count de Vionnet.
Well, then she is a countess.
Yes.
Oh.
And these people don't divorce, you know. There was a judicial separation. Madame settled in Paris, brought up her daughter, steered the boat of her life.
Mm-hmm.
It was no very pleasant boat to be in. That they should know your Chad doesn't in the least surprise. It's Madame who will have worked on Chad's refinement.
She has been his editor.
And you must go to see her to thrash this out. You'd have gone to see the other sort of woman.
Oh, yes. And I've long imagined that confrontation.
You must take things as they come now.
I shall. And I shall see Chad first thing in the morning.
In the aftermath of the encounter, I resolved to take control of the situation. However, next morning...
Walk with me, Strether. We'll breakfast you at a cafe, not at your hotel. We shall have greater privacy.
This is still a public street, and I really have to say
Strether,
to you that...
Strether, I have to tell you that you have made a tremendous impression.
Have I?
Yes. Madame de Vionnet is quite determined that you should see her again.
Now, look, see here, Chad.
Yes?
I want to know where I am.
We are walking on the Rue de Rivoli.
Ugh, you know my meaning. Are you engaged to be married to Mademoiselle Jeanne?
No, I'm not.
Well, then what on earth is stopping you from returning to Woollett?
A number of things.
Well, name one before I lose all reason.
For a start, nothing will induce me not to keep you in Paris. It's too visibly good for you.
That may not be my aim.
Look, Strether, my idea is simply that you should let Madame de Vionnet get to know you.
To what possible purpose?
If you want the honest truth, she's too good a friend for me to leave without arranging the terms of this damnable sacrifice.
Then it will be a sacrifice?
Yes, it will.
But before I agree, Chad, I must ask you this. Is Madame de Vionnet's life absolutely without reproach?
Absolutely without reproach. A beautiful life, as you'll see. Allez donc voir!
So it was to this house that later that day, I repaired. It is, full of revelations of ancient Paris. Such relics of a private order, little old miniatures, medallions, pictures, books in leather bindings. The spell of transmission from her father's line, I'm sure, casting an air of supreme respectability over all. 8:30. I think it was the same hour of the day when I sat here alone with Madame.
What was it, Chad's idea, that you should say to me?
Chad believes that you can keep his mother patient. That you can, if nothing else, delay his return to Woollett.
I see. And how am I to do that?
Tell her the simple truth. Tell her fully and clearly about us.
Do you want him to marry your daughter?
It is more complex than that, Monsieur Strether. We watch over her. We are her protectors. Chad, as a friend of this family, is our great benefactor in all ways. Ah, Francine, merci.
Madame.
Some tea, Monsieur Strether?
Thank you, yes.
Monsieur Strezer, I must ask you, why has Miss Gostrey so suddenly left Paris?
Oh, I've only the simple reason I've had from her in a note. An obligation to join a sick friend.
She didn't write to me. I suspect that she's absent so that Jeanne and I may not see her.
Oh, well, I...
I liked and admired her beyond everyone in the old time, and she knew it.
I dare say you haven't lost her friendship forever.
No. And she's presently very happy, for which I am glad.
Oh, I can assure you, my relationship with Miss Gostrey is entirely platonic.
You are uncomfortable?
No. I just feel like a little air from your window. Excuse me. Tis a wonderful panorama. It's the kind of scene I've only seen framed in a Boston museum.
Monsieur Strezer, please tell Madame Newsome that we've been good for Chan.
Yes, it's a rather wonderful transformation.
And don't you think that for that, you ought to save us?
Save you?
Yes, save us. I do not speak too strongly. It really does come to that.
I see.
And it is in your power, Monsieur Strezer. It is in your hands.
I certainly will. I'll try. I will try to, if I can. I had somehow, without meaning to, committed myself. She had driven in by a single word, a little golden nail. I sought out Billum. I spent an afternoon walking with him by the river, registering quite what had happened.
How comes Chad has such a say in the future of a little countess?
Well, he has his ideas of what can be done for her.
In a different situation, he could be marrying her himself.
He's rich, and there's a possibility of his being far richer. The Devianeys in their kind think only of a great name or a great fortune.
Well, he'll have no great fortune if he continues in Paris. But it is virtuous. I've made that out for myself. I understand what such a high, fine friendship may be, and what it has done for him. For her to have cared for Chad...
There must have been something in him.
Yes. But how can he now be with anyone else, with such an attachment in the wings? And is it for her to have turned a man out so wonderfully, only for somebody else to benefit?
Indeed, Strether, indeed.
Do you know, I say, he shouldn't go back. If he gives this up...
Yes?
Well, he ought to be ashamed of himself.
So I made a decision. Chad had a noble, a fine responsibility, an attachment to a dependent mother and daughter, though one which I could scarcely imagine myself now explaining to the family of Woollett. How could its delicacy, its nuance, be comprehended there? And no less my friendship with Miss Gostrey. I found myself free now, my errand weighing lighter, and I living quite disgracefully hand to mouth. I was still a correspondent, both with the party of Woollett and with Miss Gostrey. Waymarsh, I saw a little of. I waited on for some days, which became imperceptibly weeks. And I came to frequent a place of, well, of reflection, of introspection, of reverie. The great cathedral of Notre Dame at the city's heart. It was one afternoon, not the first time I'd walked alone in the great dim church, that I experienced a shift so profound, it has shaped the rest of my time here. I had the habit in my tours of watching my fellow visitants. On this occasion, I perceived the suggestive effect of a lady whose supreme stillness in the shade of one of the chapels I saw on my slow circuit. She only sat and gazed before her, strangely fixed. Wholly, I supposed, given up to the need that had brought her there. Until turning, she appeared to have recognized me, and straightway showed she felt our encounter as the happiest of accidents.
Ah, Monsieur Strezer, you come here too?
Why, yes. Yes, I do. May I sit?
Oh, Monsieur Strezer, how I love this place. But I am terrible in general for churches. The old women who live in them all know me. And it's like them at all events that I foresee I shall end.
Oh, no, Madame de Vionnet. Surely not. No.
I know myself, and I know my life.
At that moment, she appeared for me, well, romantic, far beyond what she could have guessed.
Perhaps we may presently walk together, Monsieur Strasser?
Oh, of course.
Yes. It would be pleasant to look at the cathedral well with you.
Please. I have foolishly indulged here in some volumes of Victor Hugo, who first put me in mind of this place. An indulgent plunge out of all proportion.
Out of proportion to what?
Well, to any other.
My dear Monsieur Strasser, do you feel yourself to be plunging?
A little.
But you seem to me to be the very paragon of security, of solidity.
Do I?
Yes.
I wonder, madame.
Yes?
Might I invite you to dine with me? There's a small restaurant just across the river that I visited with Chad. I suppose you have too.
We don't go about with him in public. So it's just the sort of thing that as a quiet creature living in my lair, I adore.
Then, please.
Well, my affairs might go to smash, as Chad would say. Mm. But doesn't one arrive to one snatch of scandale when one is prepared to pay?
It would hardly be a scandale, madame.
In that case, I would be charmed to.
And it was on this pleasant basis that we seated ourselves on either side of a small table at a window, adjusted to the busy quay and the shining, barge-burdened Seine. I had in London felt I must explain my time with Miss Gostrey, give reasons for my actions. How far I seemed to have traveled since then. How could I now wish it to be explained for others, for anyone, that I, for the hour, saw reasons enough in the mere way Madame de Vionnet opposite me over the intensely white table linen, over our omelette aux tomates, our bottle of straw-colored Chablis, thanked me for everything, almost with the smile of a child. While her gray eyes moved in and out of our talk, back to the quarter of the warm air in which summer had already begun to throb, and then back again to my face and to our human questions.
Your friend Maria Gostrey still away?
Oh, yes.
Don't you miss her, Monsieur Strasser?
Oh, she's been a great help to me in my time here.
Yes, a man in trouble must be possessed somehow of a woman.
I don't believe that I'm in trouble.
Well, I'm always so. But that you sufficiently know.
Well, that perhaps is at an end.
Oh?
I've written and told Mrs. Newsome all about you.
I see.
And all, it seems to me, you've done for Chad.
But you're not sure what Madame Newsome will say?
Monsieur, would you like another serviette?
No, merci.
I wish you'd tell me about her.
Hasn't Chad talked to you?
Yes, a great deal, but never from your point of view.
No.
Will she be kind to us?
Oh, I've little doubt that she will if she should see you.
Then won't she come out to Paris if you so put it to her?
It's to give my account of you that I must go home first.
Oh, and are you thinking of that?
All the while, naturally.
Monsieur Strasser, stay here with us.
I'm sorry?
Stay here with us. Do you not like being here?
I adore it.
It's your only real way to make sure that Chad doesn't break up. And you didn't come out to do that to him or to yourself.
No, but I've had but one thing to do, to put his family's case before him. My dear lady, my work is concluded.
You really feel that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Cecil.
But I've had, as we say at Woollett, a lovely time. And nothing in it all has been more lovely than this happy meeting with you.
Monsieur Strasser, if you are determined to return home, why did you write to Madame Newsome?
Oh, my dear lady, don't be concerned. Let Chad go over and show her what you've done. And let him plead with her there, for it and you, when she sees for herself what he's become.
Then she will want to marry him off.
Oh, no.
But of course.
Well, the question will come up of the future that you both might perhaps offer him.
Oh, let it come up.
And I'm afraid it's for Chad to make what he can of that.
Perhaps. But what is it that you make, Monsieur Strasser?
Well, I make nothing. It's not my business.
Then, Monsieur Strasser, you're not saving me for your interest in me, but for your interest in Chad.
Strange and beautiful to me was her quiet, soft acuteness. The thing that most moved me was that she was so deeply serious. I'd never come into contact, it struck me, with a force brought to so fine a head. Mrs. Newsome, goodness knows, is serious, but it seemed nothing to this. I took it all in. I saw it all together, and it changed me.
Oh, no. No, I assure you.
The golden nail she had then driven in now pierced a good inch deeper. And the golden nail firmly embedded, I returned to my hotel as in a cloud, only for my reverie to be interrupted in the lobby.
Monsieur Strader, oui? J'ai un telegram pour vous.
Oh, merci.
A telegram.
Merci beaucoup.
I read it, and then I paced. And then I read it again. Come back by the first ship. And I paced and considered its consequences and dined with Waymarsh, who appeared unaware of all and quite assuredly himself. And afterwards I paced and I read. And next day, I gave it to Chad.
In part one of The Ambassadors by Henry James, Lambert Strether was played by Henry Goodman, Chad by Orlando Seal, and Madame Marie de Vionnet by Joanna Bergin. Mariah Gostre was Claire Lawrence Moody, Billum Ricky Lawton, Waymarsh Paul Moriarty, Sarah Pocock Adjoa Ando, and Jim Pocock James Lely. Miss Barace was Tracy Wiles, Andre Carl Prekop, Gloriani Adam Billington, and Jeanne Victoria Innes Hardy. The Ambassadors is adapted for radio by Graham White and directed by Peter Kavanagh.
And The Ambassadors concludes at the same time next week. After the news, it's Mariella Frostrup with Open Book.
Short stories on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Right. The whole story as it's been unfolding.
He looked at me with eyes as bright as water forget-me-nots.
She can feel the tension build, and it's not helped by the appearance of a small man with a violin moving between the tables, playing love songs to the diners.
On the turf, she stopped.
I needed to suck in the cold air, loosen the odd mixture of melancholy and irritation that I felt.
Through all the blue-green reflections, I saw him colour.
If she was lying, he must be lying.
She knew what it meant.
Short stories on BBC Radio 4 Extra, every weekday morning at 11.